There was a square sandy area in the centre of the plaza, like a miniature desert. The sculpture that Shi Qiang mentioned, located right in the centre of the sand, was a group of black pillar-like objects, each 2 or 3 metres tall. From a distance, it looked like a grove of withered black trees. Luo Ji ran across the plaza behind Shi Qiang. When they neared the sandy area, he heard Shi Qiang call,
"Hurry, get in there!"
And he was dragged, skidding across the sand and then headlong into the withered grove. Lying on the grove's warm sand, he looked up between the black pillars at the sky and saw a flying car zoom down and buzz the grove before pulling up and accelerating away. The gust of wind it left in its wake blew a burst of sand into the air, which hit the pillars with a whoosh. "Maybe it wasn't headed for us."
"Maybe,"
Shi Qiang said as he sat up and dumped the sand out of his shoes. "Will they laugh at us for this?"
"Don't be afraid of that crap. He's going to recognise you. Besides, we're from 2 centuries ago, so even if we're entirely normal, people are still going to laugh. My boy, nothing's lost by being careful. What if the thing really was headed for you?"
Only then did Luo Ji turn his attention to the sculpture they were inside. He noticed that the pillars weren't withered trees, but arms extending out of the desert. The skinny arms were just skin and bones, so at first glance they looked like dead tree trunks. The hands atop them made a variety of distorted gestures to the sky and seemed to express a kind of endless pain. "What kind of sculpture is this?" Within this group of struggling arms, Luo Ji felt a chill, even though he was still sweating from the run. At the sculpture's edge, he saw a solemn obelisk on which was carved a line of large golden characters. "Make time for civilization. For civilization won't make time."
"The Great Ravine Memorial," Shi Qiang said. He did not seem interested in explaining further, but led Luo Ji out of the sculpture and across the other half of the plaza at a fast clip. "Okay, my boy, this tree's where I live," Shi Qiang said, pointing to the massive architectural tree in front of them.
Luo Ji looked around him as he walked. All of a sudden, he heard the floor creak, and then the ground fell away under his feet and he plummeted downward. Shi Qiang grabbed hold of him when his chest was already at ground level and struggled to haul him up. After he had his footing, the two of them stared at the hole in the ground. It was the mouth of a sewer, and its cover had slid aside just as Luo Ji was about to step on it.
"My God, are you all right, sir? That's really dangerous," said a voice issuing from a small billboard next to them.
The billboard was attached to a small pavilion containing a machine selling drinks and such, and the speaker was a young man dressed in a blue uniform. His face was pale, and he seemed even more frightened than Luo Ji.
"I'm with the Office of Evacuation and Drainage at the 3rd Municipal Administration Company. That cover opened automatically. It might be a software failure."
"Does this happen often?" Shi Qiang asked.
"Oh, no, no. At least this is the first time I've ever seen it."
Shi Qiang picked up a small round stone from the grass next to the road and tossed it down the hole. It was quite some time before they heard any sound.
"Damn. How deep is it?" he asked the man in the billboard.
"Around 30 meters. So, like I said, it's really dangerous. I've inspected the surface drainage system. The sewers in your day were all pretty shallow. This accident has been recorded. He glanced at his sleeve as he spoke. "Ah, Mr. Luo, you can go to the TMAC to be compensated."
At last they reached the lobby leading to Shi Qiang's tree, number 1863. He said that he lived on branch 106, near the top, and advised Luo Ji to eat down below before going up.
They went into a restaurant on one side of the lobby. Aside from being as clean as a 3D rendering, one characteristic of this age was even more obvious here than when he first saw it in the Reawakening Centre. Dynamic information windows were everywhere, on the walls, tabletops, chairs, the floor and ceiling, and even on small objects like the glasses and napkin holders on the table. Everything had an interface and display with scrolling text or moving images. It was as if the entire restaurant was a giant computer display showing off a diverse and glittering splendour. Not many people were dining. They chose a table by the window and sat down. Shi Qiang tapped the tabletop to activate an interface and then ordered a few dishes.
I can't read the foreign writing, so I've only ordered Chinese ones.
The world seems like it's built using bricks made from displays, Luo Ji sighed.
That's right. Anything smooth can light up. As Shi Qiang spoke, he took out a packet of cigarettes and passed it to Luo Ji. Look at this. Just a pack of cheap cigarettes. As soon as Luo Ji held the pack in his hands, it started displaying an animated image of several miniature pictures that seemed like an options menu. It's just a film that can display images, Luo Ji said as he looked at the pack. A film? You can go online with this gadget. Shi Qiang reached over and tapped the pack, and one of the miniature pictures sank in like a button. Then the advertisement he selected took over the entire pack. In the picture, Luo Ji saw a family with one child sitting in a living room. The picture obviously came from the past, and a shrill voice sounded from the pack.
Mr. Luo, this is the era you used to live in. We know that in that age, owning a house in the capital was the grand dream of every person. Now, the Green Leaf Group can help you achieve that dream. As you can see, this is a wonderful age. Houses have turned into leaves on a tree, and the Green Leaf Group can provide you with every kind of leaf.
Here the picture showed a scene of leaves being added to a tree branch, and then a dazzling variety of hanging homes, one of which was even completely transparent, with furnishings inside that seemed suspended in mid-air.
Of course, we can also build you a traditional home on the surface to return you to the warmth of the Golden Age, and build you a warm family.
A lawn and detached home, perhaps another old photo, appeared on screen. The voice artist in the ad spoke in fluent ancient Chinese, but paused momentarily before the word family, then said it with particular emphasis. After all, it was something the speaker didn't have, something that belonged to the past. Shi Qiang took the cigarette pack out of Luo Ji's hands, withdrew the last two cigarettes, passed one to him, and then crumpled the empty pack into a ball and tossed it onto the table. On the crumpled ball, the images still flashed, but the sound had disappeared.
Whenever I go anywhere, the first thing I do is to turn off every screen that's around me. They're so annoying. Shi Qiang said, turning off the tabletop and floor displays with his hands and feet. But the people here can't be away from them, he pointed around them. There aren't any computers anymore. Anyone who wants to go online or something can just tap any smooth surface. Clothing and shoes can be used as computers too. Believe it or not, I've even seen toilet paper that you can go online with.
Luo Ji pulled out a napkin. It was just ordinary, non-wired paper, but the paper box activated, and the pretty woman on it hawked bandages to Luo Ji, evidently aware of today's experiences, and guessing that his arms and legs might have gotten scraped up.
God, Luo Ji sighed, and stuffed the napkin back in the box. This is the information age. Our times were pretty damn primitive, Shi Qiang said with a laugh.
While they waited for their food, Luo Ji asked Sher Chang about his life. He felt a little guilty for only asking now, but looking back on how the day had gone, he had been something of a clockwork machine ticking relentlessly forward. Only now did he have a bit of free time.
"They had me retire. It's not a bad deal," Sher Chang said simply.
"Was it the Public Security Bureau, or the unit you were at later? Are they still around?"
"They're around, and the PSB is still the PSB. But even before hibernation, I wasn't connected to it anymore. The unit I was with later now belongs to the Asian Fleet. You know, the fleet is like a big country, so I'm a foreigner now."
Saying this, he exhaled a long cloud of smoke. He watched the cloud ascend as if he was trying hard to unravel the mystery.
"Countries don't have the significance they used to. The world's changed. It's confusing.
Fortunately, Da She, you and I are the kind of indifferent people who can live and live well no matter what happens." "Luo, my boy, to tell you the truth, I'm not as open-minded as you in certain things. I'm not as uninvolved. If I had been through everything you have, I'd have fallen apart long ago."
Luo Ji picked up the crumpled cigarette pack from the table, opening it to reveal the image that was still showing, with only a little discoloration. It was playing the Green Leaf Group advert. He said,
"Whether as messiah or as refugee, I can always use what resources I have to try and live a happy life. You might think I'm selfish, but to be honest, this is the only thing I respect about myself.
Da She, let me say something about you. You look like a careless person, but deep in your bones you're someone who prizes responsibility. Leave that responsibility completely behind now. Look at this age. Who needs us? Carpe diem is our most sacred duty."
"Sure, but if I gave up all responsibility, you wouldn't have much of an appetite at all right now."
Sher Chang tossed his cigarette into the ashtray, activating a cigarette advert. Luo Ji realized he had misspoken.
"Oh, no, Da She, you've still got to carry out your responsibility to me. I'll die if I leave you. Already today you've saved me 1, 2, 3 times, or at least 2.5.
"I can't just leave someone to die, you mean? That's the life I've got, a life of saving yours,"
Sher Chang said disapprovingly as he cast his eyes about him, probably looking for some place selling cigarettes. Then he looked back, leaning into Luo Ji, and whispered,
"But you really were a messiah for a little while, my boy."
"It's impossible for anyone in that position to be of sound mind. Fortunately, I'm now back to normal."
"How did you come up with the idea of putting a spell on that star?"
"I was seriously paranoid back then. I don't want to think about it. Believe it or not, Da She, I'm certain that while I was asleep, they not only cured my illness, but also conducted psychiatric treatment. Really, I'm not the same person now that I was back then. How could I have been so stupid as to have that kind of idea, that sort of delusion?"
"What delusion? Let me hear it."
"It's difficult to explain briefly. Besides, there's no point. In your work, you must have run into delusional patients, people who were always thinking someone wanted to kill them." "Is there any point to listening to those people talk?"
Luo Ji methodically tore the cigarette pack into pieces. This time the display was destroyed, but the scraps still flashed in a grotesquely coloured heap.
"Okay, we'll talk about something happy. My son is still alive."
"What?"
Luo Ji asked, practically jumping up in his surprise.
"I just learned about it 2 days ago. He looked me up. We haven't met, just spoken by phone."
"He's not..."
I don't know how long he spent in prison, but afterward he went into a hibernation. He said it was to come to the future to see me. Who knows where the kid got the money? Now he's on the surface and he's arranged to come over tomorrow.
Luo Ji stood up excitedly, sweeping flashing scraps of paper to the floor.
Oh, Da She, that's just... We've got to drink to that. A drink, then. The alcohol in this age tastes awful, but it's still the same strength.
Then the food came. Luo Ji didn't recognize anything, and She Qiang said,
Nothing's good. There are restaurants supplied by traditional farms, but those are all high-end places. We'll eat at one when Xiao Ming comes.
But Luo's attention had shifted to the server. Her face and body were unrealistically beautiful, and he saw that the other servers sliding between the tables had the same angelic appearance.
Hey, don't stare like an idiot. They're fake,
She Qiang said without looking up. Robots? Luo Ji asked. At last the future had something he had seen in one of his childhood science fiction stories.
Sort of.
What do you mean, sort of? She Qiang pointed to a robot server and said,
This silly girl only knows how to serve food. They travel fixed paths. How stupid is that? Once I saw a table that had been temporarily moved, but they kept bringing dishes to the original location, so everything crashed to the ground.
When the robot server had laid out the food, it smiled sweetly and wished them a good meal. Its voice did not sound robotic, but was incredibly lovely. Then it extended a slender hand and picked up the dinner knife in front of She Qiang. Like lightning, She Qiang's eyes shot from the knife in the server's hands to Luo Ji across the table from him. He leapt up, vaulted the table, and pulled Luo Ji violently off his chair to the floor. Almost simultaneously, the robot stabbed the knife right where Luo Ji's heart would have been. The knife went through the back of the chair, activating its information interface. The robot retracted the knife and stood beside the table with a serving tray in its other hand, still with the sweet smile on its unrealistically beautiful face. Panicked, Luo Ji struggled to stand up, then hid behind She Qiang. But She Qiang just waved his hand, saying,
Don't worry, it's not that agile.
The robot stood motionless, holding the knife and smiling, and once again wished them a good meal in its gentle voice. The startled diners had clustered around them, looking at the scene in amazement. Then the duty manager came rushing over. When she heard She Qiang accusing the restaurant's robot of attempted murder, she shook her head.
Sir, that's impossible. Their eyes don't see people. They only see the sensors on the tables and chairs.
I'll testify that it picked up a dinner knife and tried to kill that man. We saw it with our own eyes.
One man said in a loud voice. The other onlookers added their proof. While the duty manager was considering how to rebut this, the robot stabbed the knife at the chair a second time, putting it precisely through the hole punctured the first time and eliciting a few screams.
Have a pleasant meal, it said with a smile.
A number of other people arrived, including the restaurant's engineer. When he pressed the back of the robot's head, the smile left her face, and she said,
Forced shutdown, breakpoint data backed up.
Then she froze in place.
It's probably a software failure, the engineer said, wiping away cold sweat. Does this happen often?
She Qiang said with a sarcastic smile.
No, I swear, I've never even heard of anything like this, the engineer said, then directed two assistants to haul the robot out.
The duty manager energetically explained to the customers that until the cause of the failure was identified, the restaurant would use real human servers, but about half of the customers left anyway.
You both reacted pretty fast,
one bystander said admiringly.
Hibernators, in their era, people had experience with this kind of sudden incident, someone else said.
His clothing displayed a swordsman. The duty manager said to Luo Ji and She Qiang,
Sirs, this was truly a... Anyway, I guarantee that you'll receive compensation.
Good. Now let's eat.
Sher Chiang beckoned Luo Ji to retake his seat, and a human server brought over new dishes to replace those that had spilled. Sitting there, his shock not yet abated, Luo Ji felt the uncomfortable hole in the chair back.
Da Shi, it seems the whole world is against me. I used to have a favourable impression of it.
Shi Chiang considered one of the dishes in front of him, then said,
I've got some ideas about this.
He looked up and poured Luo Ji a drink.
Ignore it for now. I'll tell you in detail later.
Here, to carpe diem, to living one day at a time, one hour at a time even,
Luo Ji said as he raised his glass.
Here's to your still living son. Are you really okay?
Sher Chiang said, shooting him a smile.
I've been a messiah. Nothing scares me, he shrugged, then drained his glass. The taste of the alcohol made him wince.
This is like rocket fuel. You kill me, my boy. That attitude of yours has always killed me,
Sher Chiang said, sticking up a thumb. The leaf where Sher Chiang lived was at the top of the tree. It was a spacious house and was fully equipped with facilities for comfortable living. It had a gym and even an indoor garden with a fountain.
He said,
The fleet gave me these temporary living quarters. They said I can buy a better leaf with my retirement money.
Does everyone have so much space to live in these days?
Probably. This kind of structure is the best use of space. A big leaf is equivalent to an entire building from our era. But mainly it's because there are fewer people, far fewer, ever since the Great Ravine.
But Da Shi, your country is in space.
I won't be going there. I'm already retired, you know.
Luo Ji's eyes felt more comfortable here, largely because most of the information windows in Sher Chiang's house were closed, although there were scattered flashes on the walls and on the floor. Sher Chiang tapped an interface on the floor with his foot, turning one wall entirely transparent and unfurling the night city before their eyes. It was a dazzling giant forest of Christmas trees chained together by the lights of the traffic. Luo Ji went over to the sofa, which was hard as marble to the touch.
Is this for sitting? He asked.
At Sher Chiang's affirmative, he sat gingerly down on it, only to feel like he was sinking into soft clay. The sofa's cushions and backrest adapted to a person's body, forming a mould completely in sync with their body shape, keeping pressure to a minimum. His vision from the slab of iron ore in the meditation room of the UN building 2 centuries ago had become reality.
"Do you have any sleeping pills?" he asked. Now that he was in a space that felt safe, exhaustion hit him.
"No, but you can buy them here,"
Sher Chiang said, and operated the wall again.
"Here, non-prescription sleeping pills. This one, River of Dreams."
Although Luo Ji thought he would witness some sort of high-tech hardware over the network transmission, the reality was much simpler than he imagined. In a few minutes, a small flying delivery van pulled up outside the transparent wall and delivered the medicine through the portal that had just been opened up with a slender mechanical arm. Luo Ji took the medicine from Sher Chiang. It was a traditional box without any active display. The instructions said to take one pill, so he opened the pack, took one out, and reached out for the glass of water on the coffee table.
"Wait a moment,"
Sher Chiang said, taking the box out of Luo Ji's hand and reading it carefully before returning it to him.
"What does this say?" "The one I asked for was called River of Dreams."
Luo Ji saw a long string of complicated English-language drug names.
I don't recognize it. But it's certainly not River of Dreams.
Shi Qiang activated a window on the coffee table and began looking for a medical consult. With Luo Ji's help, they found one, a white-clothed consulting physician who examined the box, then looked from the box to Shi Qiang with a peculiar expression.
"Where did this come from?"
the doctor asked warily.
"I bought it right here."
"Impossible. This is a prescription drug. It's only for use in the hibernation center."
"What's it got to do with hibernation?"
"It's a short-term hibernation medicine. It can make someone hibernate for 10 days to a year."
"You just swallow it?"
"No, it requires a whole set of external systems to sustain internal bodily circulatory functions before short-term hibernation can be achieved."
"And if you take it without them?"
"Then you'd die for sure. But you'd die comfortably, so it's often used for suicide." Shi Qiang closed the window and tossed the box onto the table. He looked straight at Luo Ji for a while, then said,
"Damn it."
"Damn it," Luo Ji said, pitching back onto the sofa. Then he was subjected to the final attempt on his life that day. When his head touched back against the sofa, the hard headrest quickly adapted to the back of his head and began to form an impression of its shape. But the process didn't stop there. His head and neck continued to sink until the headrest on either side formed a pair of tentacles that squeezed tight around his neck. He had no time to cry out, but could only open his mouth and eyes and scramble with his hands. Shi Qiang bounded into the kitchen and returned with a knife, which he used to hack at the tentacles a few times, then resorted to his own hands to pry them from Luo Ji's neck. When Luo Ji left the sofa and pitched forward onto the floor, the sofa's surface lit up and displayed a large string of error messages.
"How many times have I saved your life today, my boy?" Shi Qiang asked, rubbing his hands.
"This is the 6th, Luo Ji said through gasps. He vomited onto the floor. When he finished, he leaned back weakly against the sofa, but then pulled back immediately as if shocked. He didn't know where to put his hands.
"How long will it be before I can be as agile as you and save my own life?" "Probably never," Shi Qiang said.
A vacuum cleaner-like machine glided over to clean up the vomit on the floor.
"Then I'm dead meat. This is a twisted world."
"It's not that bad. I've got an idea about the whole situation, at least. The first attempt on your life failed, and then there were 5 more attempts. This is stupidity, not professional behaviour. Something somewhere must have gone wrong. Let's contact the police immediately. We can't wait for them to crack the case."
"Who made a mistake and where?"
"Dasha, it's been 2 centuries. Don't just apply your mindset from our time." "It's the same thing, my boy. Certain things are the same no matter the age. As for whose mistake it is, I really don't know. I even wonder whether such a who actually exists."
The doorbell rang. Shi Qiang opened it to see several people standing outside. They wore civilian clothes, but Shi Qiang identified them before the leader had even flashed his ID.
"Wow, so there are actual footbeats in this society. Come on in, officers."
3 of them entered the house, leaving 2 others outside to guard the door. The officer in charge, who looked about 30 years old, surveyed the room. Like Shi Qiang and Luo Ji, he had all the displays on his clothes turned off, which put them at ease, and he spoke a pure, fluent, ancient Chinese, without any English words.
"I'm Officer Guo Zhengming with the PSB's Digital Reality Department. I apologize for our tardy arrival. That was negligent. The last time there was a case like this was 50 years ago." He bowed to Shi Qiang. "I pay my respects to my senior officer.
Aptitude like yours is very rare in the force these days.
As Officer Guo was speaking, Luo Ji and Shi Qiang noticed that all of the information windows in the house had switched off. The leaf had evidently been cut off from the external hyper-information world. The other two officers were hard at work. They were holding something he hadn't seen in ages, a notebook computer. But the computer was as thin as a sheet of paper.
"They're installing a firewall for this leaf," Officer Guo explained. "Rest assured, you're safe now. And I'll guarantee that you'll receive compensation from the municipal PSB system."
"Today," Shi Qiang said, counting off on his fingers, "we've been guaranteed compensation 4 times.
"I know, and lots of people in lots of departments have lost their jobs over this. I beg for your cooperation so that I don't join them. Thanks in advance," he said, bowing to them.
Shi Qiang said, "I understand that. I've been in that position. Do you need us to brief you on the situation?"
"No, we've actually been tracking you all along. It's just negligence."
"Can you tell us what's happening?"
"Killer 5.2.
"What?"
"It's a network virus. The ETO first released it about a century into the crisis era, and then there were lots of subsequent variants and upgrades. It's a murder virus. First, it establishes the identity of the target by a variety of methods, including the chip everyone has implanted in their body. When it locates the target, the killer virus manipulates every possible piece of external hardware to carry out the murder. Its concrete manifestation is what you experience today.
It seems like everything in the world wants to kill you. So at the time, people called it a modern hex.
For a while, the killer software was even commercialized and sold on the online black market. You entered the personal ID number of your target and uploaded the virus. Then, even if that person was able to evade death, they would still have a hard time living in society.
"The industry developed as far as that? Incredible," Shi Qiang exclaimed.
"Software from a century ago can still run today?" Luo Ji asked incredulously.
"Sure it can. Computer technology stopped advancing long ago. When the killer virus first appeared, it killed quite a few people, including a head of state. But eventually it was controlled by firewalls and antivirus software and gradually faded away. This version of killer is programmed specifically to attack Dr. Luo. But because the target was in hibernation, it never had the opportunity to take any concrete action. It stayed dormant and wasn't detected or recorded by the information security system. It was only when Dr. Luo emerged into the world today that Killer 5.2 activated itself and carried out its mission. It's just that its creators were wiped out a century ago."
"They were still trying to kill me a century ago," Luo Ji said. A mood he thought was gone forever returned, and he struggled to dispel it again.
"Yes. The key thing about this version of the killer virus is that it was programmed specifically for you. It was never activated, which is why it was still lurking in wait today."
"Then what are we supposed to do now?" Shi Qiang asked.
"The entire system will be cleaned of killer 5.2, but that will take some time. Before it's completed, you have 2 choices. First, Dr. Luo can be given a temporary false identity, but this will not totally guarantee his safety and might lead to other more serious consequences. Due to the technological sophistication of the ETO software, Killer 5.2 might have already recorded other characteristics of its target. In one case that caused a sensation a century ago, when a protected individual was given a false identity, Killer used fuzzy recognition to simultaneously kill over 100 people, target included. The other choice, and my personal recommendation, is for you to live up on the surface for a while. Killer 5.2 won't have any hardware to manipulate up there."
Sher Chang said,
I agree. Even without this situation, I've been wanting to go up to the surface.
What's on the surface? Luo Ji asked. Sher Chang explained.
Most of the reawakened hibernators live on the surface. It's hard for them to adapt down here.
That's right. So you ought to spend at least some time up there, Officer Guo said. Many aspects of modern society, politics, economics, culture, lifestyle, and relations between the sexes have changed greatly in 2 centuries, so it takes some time for us to adapt.
But you've adapted well enough, Sher Chang said, looking him over. He and Luo Ji had both noticed that the officer had said us.
I went into hibernation because of leukemia, and I was quite young when I reawakened, just 13 years old, Guo Zhengming said with a laugh.
But people still don't understand the difficulties I've had. I don't know how many times I've gone for psychological treatment.
Are there many other hibernators like you who have totally adapted to modern life? Luo Ji asked.
Lots, but you can still live quite well on the surface.